What up, everyone? This is your host, Joel Sid, and you are tuning into the part 3 of MoonX. So in this part, we'll be going over the final episode about MoonX, what this decentralized exchange is. So without wasting any time, let's do this.
Okay, at this point of time, we do have a, so pure crypto-to-crypto trading. Okay. At the same time, we do have several licenses across the world. For that license, what we do facilitate OTCs, initially starting with, but eventually we are going to integrate with the fiat world, wherever that country allows to us to do so. Okay. So we will definitely do that particular thing. And then integrating fiat currency is actually very easy thing to do unless that land doesn't allow. So we Makes have sense. To follow the Absolutely, laws yeah. of the land.
Totally agree. Reason I'm asking is because right now, one of the problems that I see is like, and again, this is still initial stage, is that if you want to go into crypto to crypto trading, you have to, at least here we have to use our fiat currency. So we have to go to Coinbase or any other exchanges that use that fiat currency. And they only offer two or three what you call crypto assets there. Like it could be Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or maybe one or two more. I know Coinbase is adding more, but that's the gateway. And then we go to next level, which is kind of like Binance, where we have access to different coins, and they have a very similar system. They have BNB, Binance coin, I think. So that's what I was asking. I was like, it would make sense if right off the bat we can buy directly into MoonX. Like, so if I want to buy Moon money, or if I want to buy whatever crypto assets, I can just buy it and just continue my trading from there onwards, as opposed to buying it at Coinbase or other exchange and then transferring everything to MoonX. So, and I'm guessing that's how it's going to be.
The thing, if you have gone through our white paper or our website, we have created one thing called an implication engine. So, which is first in the world, where you do not have to go through Bitcoins or Ethereum or something. Okay. You can trade any asset to any asset. So think about, you have a Neo coin. Yeah. You want to trade with ADA or Cardano, or you want to trade with anything else.
Yeah.
You can directly trade it. You do not have to convert to Bitcoin as a base pair.
Yeah.
So perfect. The base pair concept does exist.
Yeah.
So base pair concept existed. So you know from where the base pair concept came in?
No, I don't actually. So please help.
But thinking about 500 CE to 1500 CE, at that particular time, there was a silent trade, more of a barter system.
Yeah.
So you give some kind of grains and take something else as a barter system. There were a lot of conflicts happening in terms of negotiation.
Yeah.
So what they did, they came up with a base pair, which is a gold.
Mm-hmm.
So it was purely by weight. So gold means, okay, if I give 10 grams of gold, I will get this many grams. So they were negotiating in the market.
Okay.
So the gold was the base pair. And then they introduced silver and a couple of other metals and other stuff. So the evolution into the crypto asset is the same. Right now, when Tony mentioned Bitcoin is the gold, Ethereum will be silver.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it has started. Eventually, this implication engine, what we are doing, which we want to get rid of the base pair. And we have achieved in terms of technology already. So answering your question, how would you be able to do fiat? Yes, we have the solution ready. Unless if your Canadian government allows, I can give the solution in no time.
Oh, okay.
You can buy anything and you can convert back to anything.
Makes sense. And you also said that Moon money, obviously, like crypto, the Bitcoin is only 21 million around. and it's built on just a transaction basis, meaning that you need more mining power to even generate more Bitcoin. So, and like their hash like gets harder and harder, 10 minutes. So they have a lot of restrictions. But with Ethereum, they have now 100 million Ethereums available. What about the availability of Moon money? Like, I'm guessing like you want to make it transactional for even like outside the platform. That's what I got from what Tony said. Tony said like it's not just a utility token that you just use on the platform. It could be used outside as well. Is that correct? Or I heard something wrong?
Okay, I'm going to answer this question. It seems Tony...
Okay.
Maybe he has some issues with the phone. Okay. Moon money in terms of supply, we have 2.4 billion of Moon money, which is available. The main reason why we call it as Moon money, we don't want to keep it as a token. Token is mostly referred to as utility. Yeah, we are having our own mainnet.
Okay.
So, yeah, we took all the good features of Bitcoin and Litecoin and put it on the top, and we forked it and make it as a Moon money. Definitely, we are going to let it free run on several nodes on the planet, and then we are letting Moon money as one of the way. And we do not have the mining, just like what Ethereum, the gas price is going really high.
It's crazy,
and it's just getting unaffordable. Yeah, it's getting unaffordable for many people. Mm-hmm. And Bitcoin, if you want to transact, you need to spend so much money to send one wallet, another wallet.
Yeah.
And then you need to pay a lot of things for miners. Mm-hmm. But for Moon money, you don't have to worry about it. You just transact.
Okay.
From send one wallet to another wallet without paying any commission fee, no mining fee, nothing. All the thing will be run on the servers, which we are investing, and will be benefiting for the whole world so that it's totally free. Oh, yeah. Moon money is... fork of Bitcoin.
Oh, it's fork of Bitcoin. Okay, fair enough. Okay.
We are using Bitcoin technology.
Okay.
It's a fork of Bitcoin, but we will be, Moon X would be paying for the transaction fee for the whole world, right? So it will be running on the servers of Moon X, and then people don't have to pay for it. We are bearing the burden, not enough. The people.
Wow. Okay, fair enough. And what about the validation? What happens when transactions go in pending? If let's say we are transacting with Moon Money outside, do you see Moon Money being something like right now? I see some of the stores and retailers, even online places, like you can buy things from Litecoin. Do you see Moon Money going in that direction where we can literally buy like a T-shirt or something of similar nature with Moon Money on a website or in a retail store?
Yeah, definitely. See, why this Bitcoin is quite slow? Because the transaction per second is slow, and the mining people, you need to pay a lot of money to validate the transaction.
Yeah.
So why it is because the nodes are quite inefficient and it's a very slow process.
Yeah.
So we do have an advantage of being the fastest engine on the planet. So that way we would be able to validate it much faster than what they have done. Eventually, down the line, so the validation should happen in 200 to 300 microseconds. So when you go to a retail store, when you do it, it's 300 microseconds, which is you don't even have to see. Right now, if you use a mobile app to pay, it will take maybe a couple of seconds. So we are talking about 1/10 of the speed.
Okay.
It would be possible to validate.
And validation is not done by the nodes. Validation is done by, I'm guessing, your servers. It's not decentralized nodes that they are doing the validation.
Even the Bitcoin has several nodes. It has to run on some server.
Yeah.
If it doesn't run, it's totally done. So Moon Money eventually will be completely decentralized and it will be completely transparent. It is going to happen very soon.
So initially, like if I were to send you a Bitcoin, it's going to be validated. Not in a by a centralized server. It could be miners out there. Right? It could be Bitmain or somebody else. They have to validate it, right? Whereas Moon Money is being
So this particular thing, it's a very interesting question. I would like to definitely add, servers are always centralized, no matter what. So the main reason why people are like Bitcoin. They will be validating by others, and there is a huge inefficiency out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we just want to get rid of this particular inefficiency and then validate on a very fast servers. So having a Bitmain machine, which is quite slow and there is no match for the server, so yeah. It will take a long time. So you need to have a mining farms in order to validate
exactly.
that particular thing.
Yeah.
Whereas the servers can validate, which you can technically keep anywhere.
Yeah.
And then the main essence and the main philosophy of Moonex is it belongs to everybody. They control and they do it. So think about 2.4 billion Moon money is held by 240 million people. Mm-hmm. Those other people are the real owners, not me or you or Tony.
Yeah. Okay. No, fair enough. Are you guys right now more predominantly focusing globally, or you have like the pockets of the market that you want to work in first and then slowly expand all over?
Okay, so I would answer this question probably.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's quite late here, so it's midnight. So, Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, because there's some issue on PC. I can hear you guys, but I speak, so actually, I cannot hear you guys. Cannot hear me. Yeah. So final. Yeah. So actually, you go ahead. Go ahead. You go ahead first, and then I can add something. Yeah.
So Moonex would be available for the whole world.
Okay.
Moonex is just an exchange.
Okay.
So why we are different than the rest of the world, and why we would be able to bring more value? Think about it. If a company, a Facebook, when it went live,
mm-hmm.
In the IPO, right? So all the people they cast out. This was the first thing I begin with. But all the secondary people who has invested in Facebook, they did not get more money. Like the angel investor got 1,000x or 10,000x.
Yeah.
But the people who are investing in the secondary market for the general public, they got very little, like maybe several 2x or 10x maximum.
Yeah.
And they don't have the chance to participate. So here, what happens? It definitely creates a more Gini coefficient. It will increase the Gini coefficient, which between the rich and poor, the rich becomes much richer,
mm-hmm.
the poor becomes a lot poorer in this particular setup.
Yeah.
What if that same $1 million as an angel fund, you would be able to divide into multiple pieces and then invest it?
Mm-hmm.
In an ICO, you would be able to invest. And then what we are bringing in Moonex, the hedge funds and the institutions are jumping up later, and they would be investing in the secondary market.
Yeah.
So why a lot of hedge funds are unable to enter this particular market is the technology is not ready. All the systems what they have built, they are unable to enter. So think about one hedge fund I have worked in the past. They have a capacity of around $2 trillion.
Yeah.
So the whole crypto space is less than several $100 billion.
Yeah.
So if that particular money has to flow in, the technology has to be matured. We are facilitating those people, and we have been in touch with tier 1, tier 2 hedge funds to jump into the crypto space and facilitate this one. So you will see Moonex very soon. The Moonex will be facilitating those people, and then how significant expansion is going to happen in the crypto world.
So you will be facilitating the institutional investors. Are you?
We are opening to the hedge funds. We are opening mm-hmm. for the brokers.
Okay.
And we are opening a whole ecosystem for the third party. Right now, all the exchanges, they will do everything end by end themselves. They don't have anything left for the third parties, right? So if you don't build an ecosystem where and infrastructure where third parties cannot enter, definitely you will be limited. And your economy doesn't grow. We are just keeping that open. We are a pure technology company. So we do not want... The thing what we are doing is a social experiment.
Yeah.
And we want to let it open to everybody.
And for institutional investors or hedge funds to be involved, you probably have to get... the Securities Commission approvals from different various countries.
There is a hurdles ahead of it. We will see how we go.
Because once you talk about like that kind of level of involvement, I think that's when the legal infrastructure gets a little bit complicated.
Everything is evolved, right? The law comes where the regulation comes in. The regulation comes in where there is significant activity in that particular thing.
Exactly.
When the activity starts and the regulators understand what is this activity, and then they create and they can regulate so that regulation is not about restriction.
Yeah.
It's about how to facilitate. So people, they think regulators are always bad, actually not. They are facilitating they're facilitating the good thing.
They're trying to protect the everyday investor. They are actually on investor's side, regulators.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Regulators are always a good guy.
No, fair enough. Tony, you had something to say. Sorry.
No problem. Yeah. So actually for the regulation part, so right now we hold a very open attitude towards like government regulators. And actually we keep very active talk with the RBI, with SEC and the China Central Bank. And we talk with the people and government officials a lot with them. Like, so actually also like among government regulators, even like in different states and also in different countries, different government officials also hold different views. Actually, they also have some debate with their agent how to adopt a different policy. But overall, right now, we can see it's a very clear trend that the major markets in the world, they are trying to adopt and adjust to the new trend and want to support this industry. Other things than for some small countries, like some offshore island countries and for some very small developing countries, actually they take a very active role in supporting this industry. So this is something so actually very good for both for all the like crypto people in this field. And for us, like so, and when we're talking about hedge fund and the institutional investors, because we both fighting the two parts. So one is that like a lot of mutual fund and hedge funds that are regulated by SEC, regulated by different central banks in major markets. The thing is that right now in crypto, there are also a lot of very big hedge funds, and they are using crypto and the main funding to do investing. And they evolve from different, so to get the funding from different kinds of way. And also they work with some government which officially supports this industry, and they open their bank account and open their and get the funding in this country and then enter into this industry. So for hedge funds, also a lot of hedge funds are pure crypto sector hedge funds, and they play a more and more important role like in crypto exchange trading volume. So this, and Nissan said our technology can support this kind of hedge fund a lot. And the other thing I want to end is about our roadmap. So definitely we are a global crypto exchange. We target market all the world. But the way we adopt which market we want to enter first, it depends on the decision making from our community members, from our family members. Right now, so actually we are doing some voting for the community members. So for our first meetup will be in Hyderabad in India. Then our second meetup, actually, we ask the community members to vote which city they want. Next stop, probably we will go to Moscow because so many of Russia friends and community members support us going there. So, and also which market we enter first also goes the same logic. So we let our community members to vote. And also like for crypto industry, is quite common. Usually very small teams, they run very big company and business, and for us the same logic. And right now we will adopt some new operation strategy. Even we enter into one market, we don't necessarily will hire a local operation team there. So we let the very active volunteers and community members to take initiative, take step further. So if they play a very active role, actually empower them and to do the real operation and promote this passion for us. So it's also possible. So definitely, and the future is quite soon. So our ICO will be in the middle of August. So we will announce the details for ICO and also details for how we take initiative for operation and what the specific strategy like for entering into different market. And we will let our earlier volunteer and active community members to also make decision and take a lead how they want to achieve this. And so if it's anything to end, so you can ask, like, so you can tell the future audience. So let them keep tuned. We will keep them updated about our latest news on ICO and also latest strategy for operation, how the active member can get involved in running the real business with us. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Nitin. And thanks a lot, guys, for tuning in. That was the part 3 of MoonX Decentralized Exchange episodes. And please, I'm looking forward to your feedback. What you guys think? What you have heard so far? Do your research. You can reach them at moonx.family and do your due diligence. I will also leave the link below for the white paper so you guys can have all complete information about the project and the white paper. But I would love to hear back from your feedback and what you think about this ICO. Until then, guys, don't believe the hype, don't believe the hate. Just be objective, keep learning. And this space is so new. There's a lot of profit and there's a lot of loss. So being objective and educated is the only way. And if you have any questions, if you need clarity, like, I'm super immersed in this space and I have now access to hundreds of people who are very educated, like, they can decode this stuff. So you can reach me at sid@cryptochainx.com and I'll do my best to answer your questions. If not, I'll find resources to get you the answers. Cheers.